I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Libya. The combat in Libya. It is difficult to follow other than inferential reports that we get from newsmen at the scene or anecdotes that were given by Al Jazeera. Right now, there are photographs that come from people out in the field with the rebel forces. I'm not yet familiar with reporters with the Gaddafi forces. However, it does appear that there's one coastal road, the sea's on one side, the desert's on the other, and from Benghazi to Tripoli is about 800 miles, several hundred kilometers, and what you have is that you drive one way and you hit a block and then you drive the other way when the team comes running for you. It looks like they're running back and forth on the same road that was once used in the battle for North Africa between General Montgomery and General Rommel. Many years ago, 60 or 70 years ago, Jeffrey White at the Washington Institute is a defense fellow specializing in military and security affairs, and he's written very recently about the apparent tactical and strategic challenge for both the coalition and the Gaddafi forces, coalition and the rebels, and the Gaddafi forces on the other side. Jeff, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. And you write that the rebels have big issues about their supply lines. We can see that because they fill their trucks up with so much gasoline and then they run out at the other end. Is that in any fashion solved by the coalition effort at this point, the airstrikes, the ground attack? Has the coalition been able to offer them something that would solve their supply?
Not directly. Indirectly, they are, in the sense that to the extent the coalition airstrikes destroy Libyan military equipment, reduce their firepower, and so on, it creates less of a requirement for the rebels to do any kind of heavy fighting. But there is no direct effect on the rebels' logistics system or organizational skills or any of those other factors in combat.
What they need is a dump of fuel out there so that they can anchor to it and keep going west, I guess. But that hasn't happened yet. And to our knowledge, the U.S. and the NATO forces are talking about providing weapons. But I haven't seen anybody say that they're going to provide a gas station, which would be useful at this point.
It would be. They could use all kinds of logistical help and support in moving ammunition forward, just keeping their people fed and watered. It's not so easy out in the desert areas and along that long coastal road. So, yeah, they could definitely use logistical support. I think that's probably the last thing we'll see them get. It's just not on the cards, hasn't been talked about. Still struggling with the issue of whether or not they'll be armed, provided any weapons that they could or might find useful in fighting.
Let's go over to the regime side, but first I want to make sure that the simple-minded picture I provided to start with is accurate to your mind. We have one road. You drive from Benghazi to Tripoli and Tripoli to Benghazi, a lot of little towns in between, and that's it. That's the tactics.
That's essentially it. And it's not too different than World War II in that regard.
Right.
With heavy tracked vehicles and with four-wheel drive vehicles, you can get off the road to some extent, at least for a while. But supporting them, maintaining operations anywhere very far from the road is just difficult.
That's why the towns along the way become anchors for an advancing force. But now the question for the regime. They have to reduce their vulnerability of their heavy forces. Have they done that already? Have they lost the tanks and the stuff that you can see from the sky?
They've hidden some of it. It looks like they moved some of it in the Misrata area, actually into buildings, adjacent to buildings. They're using tree cover, where they can to reduce their direct exposure to coalition air attack. In wooded areas or areas where there's trees and so on, that's not a perfect tactic because they can still be picked up and identified. But it looks also like they've kind of shifted their pattern of operations. What we saw in their earlier advance towards Benghazi was heavy vehicles, T-72 tanks, BMP, mechanized infantry combat vehicles, BM-21 rocket launchers, and very heavy, 155-millimeter Italian artillery, very heavy weapon systems. We don't seem to be seeing that or at least hearing about it very much in their current offensive. And the basic problem is if you're operating those heavy vehicles out in the desert and along that road, they're highly vulnerable to being struck. Of course, that depends upon the will of the coalition to conduct that kind of activity.
2 days ago, Jeff, there was a front page piece in the Washington Post, I'm sure you saw it, that the AC-130 gunship was going to be introduced into theater. Have you seen any information to say that that has happened? Because I've puzzled that it was only used in Iraq when it had ground forces to target it, and I wonder if it's operating without ground forces.
Well, we know it's operating. There was a press release that came out, I believe it was out of AFRICOM, out of the U.S. side anyway, that indicated that an A-10 had been involved in an attack on Libyan naval units or Coast Guard units in the Misrata area.
Right.
So, you know, that's a clear indication that they are there, they are operating. They have not seen, or at least I haven't seen, anything that indicates they've been used along that coastal road or, you know, doing the so-called tank plinking around Misrata. Haven't seen that yet. They are there, and they are being used. And they don't need to be guided directly by elements on the ground. They have their own ability to detect tanks and engage them from the air.
All right, now we come to the populated areas, because that's a third military issue you write for the. This is Jeffrey White writing for the Washington Institute, where he's a defense fellow. For the NATO forces, how do they conduct themselves from the air in populated areas? You named Misrata and Zintan, but now we have reports Bin Jawad fell, and now they're moving on Ras Lanuf and Brega, two large oil towns to the east. But when you get into populated areas, that is a restriction to air support, correct?
Well, it can limit it, and it makes it a much greater challenge if they're, you know, mixed in with the population and using the buildings in these areas for overhead cover. But they can still be struck if you have adequate reconnaissance and surveillance means, and given the electrical, optical systems, and infrared systems, and so on the aircraft, they can be hit. The aircraft have to be able to more or less loiter in the area, watch for them, you know, look in detail for them. But it can be done. There is some increased risk, though, that you might inflict some collateral damage on the population.
So or get pulled into an ambush. Isn't that also possible? Because that's what we saw in Mogadishu many years ago. I'm thinking of the ambush on our soldiers one afternoon when they responded to an attack threat.
Right. And what I would be worried about there would be some kind of anti-aircraft ambush.
Right.
You know, primarily heavy automatic weapons that the Libyans have a lot of, the Libyan government has a lot of. That's a risk in the situation.
And I hear the word risk a lot here, Jeff.
Do you
see a tactical advantage to the coalition here, or is this a standoff?
I don't think it's not a standoff, really. The coalition air power, if applied, you know, with determination and over, you know, some period of time, and I'm not talking, you know, months. We're talking, I think, weeks here. If applied in such a fashion, decisively, with energy, then the Libyan forces, I think, can be broken up, you know, suppressed. They'll find it very difficult to move, to resupply their own forces, and so on. You know, my sense is that, at some point, they're simply going to become largely immobile and not able to really, you know, engage the rebels in any kind of mobile battle. And then it'll be a matter of digging them out. And that's one reason the rebels need, you know, better weapons than they've got.
Better weapons and better training? Do you think that they're adequate? Because we were told they only had 2 weeks when they started, and they look like a ragtag when you see the still photographs.
Well, they definitely do. This is really kind of a ragtag army, military force. Can't even really call it an army. It's kind of a band,
right?
An irregular band.
They drive up the road together. They drive back down the road together.
That's correct. They could use training, no question. What I've been saying is what they could really use would be some, you know, good anti-tank weapons.
Jeffrey White, anti-tank weapons, and that would be, we'd have to give it to them, right? They're not going to find it on the road.
They might find some, but yeah, I think we would have to provide them with, you know, good, robust systems that can take out Gaddafi's heavy, you know, systems.
Jeffrey Weiss, a defense fellow at the Washington Institute, specializing in military and security affairs. There's one road between Benghazi and Tripoli. You drive up it, you drive down it. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.